GBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Helene is weakened to a tropical storm, but as it made landfall as a Category 4 hurricane in Florida, it's caused significant flooding in the region, says ABC's Jim Ryan.
The point of Helene's landfall was near the town of Perry in Florida's Big Bend. Farther south in Pinellas County, Ashley Giovanetti says,
we are seeing some areas that received over 8 feet of storm surge.
In Pasco County, firefighters have rescued at least 65 people from high water.
Helene's blamed for 3 deaths, 1 in Florida, 2 in Georgia. Vice President Kamala Harris heads to Arizona today. She'll visit the southern borders. Former President Trump and Republicans have criticized Harris for the Biden administration's border policy. Trump will meet today with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, and New York City Mayor Eric Adams is set to be arraigned in federal court after he was charged with accepting illegal campaign contributions. He says he's innocent. This is ABC News.
He did not expect.
The NTSB's issued an urgent safety recommendation for hundreds of Boeing 737 MAX and next generation models, says ABC's Alex Stone.
It comes after United Airlines' Boeing 737 MAX 8's rudder pedals became non-responsive during a landing in Newark Airport earlier this year. The rudder control system can jam. Its maker, Collins Aerospace, says a sealed bearing was incorrectly assembled. United had 9 affected planes and has already fixed them, but there are 353 more worldwide. None of them in the U.S. would still need to be fixed, but elsewhere, hundreds of the 737s need to be worked on. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The U.S. government's reopened the free COVID-19 test kit program. Anyone can visit covidtest.gov and order up to 4 nasal swab kits per household. Those tests will ship out at no cost next week. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at wgbw.fm.
The Wisconsin Badgers are playing in California this Saturday, and who has it all covered for you? Todd Albaugh, host of the Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm going to L.A. It's the first time that the Badgers have gone out and played one of the new schools. The Badgers taking on USC.
Don't miss a show or any of the fun leading up to the Badgers-USC game. It's the Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon to 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel joins us talking about Trump's appeal of his $464 million civil case, and he'll chime in on SDNY's case against New York City Mayor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This little summertime in September thing we have going on here is going to continue right on through the weekend. Today, mostly sunny, 79 our high this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 55. Tomorrow, sunshine, 77. On Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Mino and the Mayor.
And if weight is the issue, now they're saying that it's the circumference of your...
Stomach, basically. Yeah. Your belt, yeah.
So...
Yeah, which isn't great.
That's not good news.
I was over there today, you know.
Yeah.
The bigger your thigh, the healthier you are.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's not good at all.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. Maggie Dawn.
It is fabulous Female Friday on the Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, we've got historian Heather Cox Richardson and Senator Tammy Baldwin. You are not going to want to miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
As a Category 4, strongest hurricane in record to slam into that part of the state. They say it's one of the largest storms in the Gulf of Mexico in this last century. The wind field alone stretches a distance between Indianapolis and Washington, D.C. Already three people have died. Not the kind of news you want to kick off a Friday morning with. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Well, Hurricane Helene continues to devastate parts of the coast. Here in Wisconsin, we're waiting for that weather to get here. The good news is, for the weekend, we've got beautiful weather on the way. Sunshine today, 76. Tomorrow, sunshine and 76. Sunday, for the big game up in Green Bay, sunny and 78. Now, next week, for World Dairy Expo, we cool down just a little bit. We'll find out weather details when Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, joins us. We'll also talk a little bit more about the agriculture that's being impacted by Hurricane Helene. You know, everybody can learn a little something about Wisconsin agriculture. That includes Packers President and CEO Mark Murphy. Today, the Wisconsin Agriculture Tourism Association will unveil another NFL-themed corn maze. I'll be up in Stevens Point for that. You'll hear from Murphy in just a little bit. Farmers are frustrated. We are not getting anything done on the farm bill. And as they say, we're on the clock. If we can't complete a new farm bill by the end of 2024, there are some real risks to production agriculture. Perry Osnes with Compeer is going to tell us about that. And do you think anybody would really like to sit and watch you trim your toenails? Think about it. I'm sure somebody would, but it's not considered wide entertainment. But I'll tell you what, there is a fella in western Wisconsin that's got literally millions of people that follow him, Nate the Hoof Guy. He's basically trimming cows' toenails, and millions are watching. Oh, we're going to tell you all about it. Stick around.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
With an increase in whooping cough cases and a busy season coming up, farmers and farm workers are going to try to stay as healthy as possible. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and the DHS respiratory disease epidemiologist Tom Haupt gives suggestions on vaccinations that farmers and farm workers should strongly consider and where they might be able to receive these vaccinations.
Nothing is going to be required as far as vaccinations goes, but we're going to be strongly encouraging influenza vaccine, COVID vaccine, especially for those temporary workers that come in who probably do not have insurance or are very underinsured. So the vaccines, again, they're not mandatory at all, but we are strongly recommending that the farmers and their workers get vaccinated against the influenza. Influenza can be devastating. It can lead to many different complications, including pneumonia. And unfortunately, we have had deaths in the past. So we're going to be making that high recommendation, that strong recommendation, that all farm workers do get these vaccines.
You mentioned flu and COVID vaccinations, but should they look into getting tetanus shots as well?
I think, you know, that would be also strongly recommended. You know, with the work that they do, they're potentially could be scratched or develop cuts. So we would hope that they are all vaccinated and up to date on all the adult vaccines as well. And that would include tetanus as well.
So what's the biggest worry that you guys have for this year for the farm workers that are about to start working? Is there a certain illness or something? I know you mentioned the flu, but is there anything else that for some reason this year is really amplified?
Yes, there actually is. There is a major increase in the number of cases of pertussis or whooping cough, and that can affect not only children, is well known to affect children, but it can attack any person at any age. So again, that would be another vaccine that they want to think about as well, because once it gets started, it spreads very, very quickly amongst people. And then obviously the workers are coming up and they're temporary workers. They don't want to miss any days whatsoever. They don't want to miss out, you know, making a little bit more money. So that was a good point to bring up, that pertussis is also something that they should be thinking about getting that vaccination.
Where can workers go to get these vaccines?
Well, that's always the problem, and that's why we're trying to reach out to the farm workers this year and make it part of our vaccination campaign. But they can go to, sometimes local health departments will have the vaccines available. There might be some free clinics, some clinics that are around, free clinics, that would they be able to get the vaccinations. That's an issue that we're continuing to work on here at the Division of Public Health, is to how to get the vaccinations to these farm workers, especially the temporary ones who maybe do not have an active provider.
To go off that, do you know of any of these free clinics that will be going around for farmers?
At this point, I don't know where they might be. Something that I believe we have a vaccination website where they can type in vaccines and see where these vaccines might be able to be received.
So this year, are they going to have to pay for the vaccines if they can't make it into one of these clinics? And if they do, about how much would you say that would cost for them?
Well, we're hoping to find a place where they can get it for free. Again, it's difficult to do that kind of thing, but the actual cost of vaccine shouldn't be too high, I don't think. I mean, I get it all paid through my insurance, so I really don't know what the exact costs are on these things. But I think we're going to be trying to work with the farm community to make sure that their workers, especially those who are not insured or underinsured, that they have the availability to get the vaccines that are needed.
And for these vaccines, when should they think about starting to go get them, before this harvest season, or should they wait till as it starts?
It's really dependent. I mean, certainly on things that you mentioned, like tetanus and that, there's no time limit. The sooner they can get the tetanus shot, the better off they're going to be. Influenza is not at high activity right now. We usually tell people, well, once they get started, you know, they can get it any time. It's becoming more and more available every day. But again, reaching out to the farm workers is going to be very difficult. But the best thing is they can get these vaccines whenever they become available, whenever they have the ability to reach out to a provider or to a free clinic and to get these vaccines.
Kind of go back to whooping cough. How are people getting whooping cough, and how exactly is it spreading, just to help them be able to try to avoid getting it?
Pertussis or whooping cough is spread through droplets that are expelled from an infected person. It's spread much the same way as influenza or RSV, those types of illnesses as well. So again, it's people who are sick, who maybe not up to date on their vaccine, are spreading it to other people, not having good hygiene. And that's basically, it's person-to-person type of spread, again, from droplets, from a sneeze, or from a cough.
One more thing here. So
Do you know of any illnesses that people might be able to get from animals if they're working a lot with livestock and stuff during the season?
Well, obviously, the nationwide, we're running into the situation with dairy farmers, with the dairy herds that are spreading a different form of influenza. It's called the novel influenza or influenza H5, which has not normally been seen in humans, but they actually can contract that from ill cows, also from ill poultry as well. It's spread through H5 is also spread through infected poultry for anyone who is working on a poultry farm. Those are the two main things, but always we want to be very careful with the farmers. You know, if they're dealing with any kind of cow manure or animal manure, they can spread a lot of different bacteria and parasites and cause gastrointestinal illnesses as well. So good hygiene is essential. It's washing your hands, you know, before you're eating anything, after you've had any kind of exposure to something like manure or any kind of droppings from an animal. There's just a lot of possibilities that where farmers and farm workers can get sick, either with respiratory illness or with a gastrointestinal type of illness.
To kind of flip the script here, are there any sicknesses that humans can get and give to animals that might be even worse for animals than they are for humans?
Well, there's still research being done and whether or not the human can actually spread something like the flu to cows and cattle. We know for a fact that with COVID that humans can spread COVID to animals, especially cats are very, very susceptible to COVID. But there is more research being done, and certainly, at least hypothetically, it's possible for a human to spread an illness, especially respiratory illness, to animals that are being cared for on their farm.
Is there anything else you'd like to add or talk about so farmers can prepare more for this season?
Just want to, again, really encourage the vaccinations, especially for flu and for COVID. We are expecting a good supply of vaccines. The vaccines are safe, and we feel it's going to be a very effective influenza vaccine efficacy year. So meaning it's going to work. The main goal, again, of a vaccine is something to prevent influenza, prevent COVID, but also if they do get sick with these illnesses, that their illnesses are not nearly as severe and do not require medical attention. So we're really pushing it out there to recommending that they seek out a way to get vaccines. And we are working from our end to try to reach out to farm workers as well to see if we can help get them the vaccines that they need.
If you're looking to get these recommended vaccines, Tom Haupt says that you can find where they are located using the website vaccines.gov. As the DHS continues to work on being able to provide free vaccinations to farmers and farm workers, they still strongly recommend a flu shot and a COVID shot for this fall season. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Spoiler alert, both major political parties are trying to minimize the impact of voters choosing third-party candidates in the 2024 election. What could fix the spoiler effect and allow third-party candidates to still compete? Ranked choice voting. CBS News and the Wall Street Journal report that Green Party candidate Jill Stein accepted in-kind assistance from Republican-affiliated lawyers to keep herself on the ballot in Wisconsin and be restored to the ballot in Nevada in hopes of siphoning off votes from Kamala Harris. Earlier this summer, Democrats sued to keep Robert F. Kennedy Jr. off the ballot in 5 states. Though he suspended his candidacy, Kennedy remains on the ballot in 33 states. Ranked choice voting allows third-party candidates like Stein, Kennedy, and Libertarian Chase Oliver to compete without the spoiler effect. Voters could, for example, rank Stein first, Harris second, and Oliver third. In ranked choice, if a candidate has a 50% plus one majority, he or she wins outright. If there is no 50% plus one majority, the lowest vote getter is eliminated, voter second choices are used, and totals are recalculated. The process continues until the winning candidate reaches a 50% plus one majority. Only Alaska and Maine will use ranked choice for presidential voting this year, but five states are considering RCV ballot measures in November. We have more on ranked choice at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
John Minow and Jim Schmidt.
On Friday's show, former Green Bay Packer quarterback Randy Wright joins us for Football Friday, courtesy of Burkle's One Block Over.
And we'll have live music with Melissa Shakar in our Heights Pub and Parlor music series. Join us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Already three people died in Hurricane Helene, and I'm sure those numbers could change pretty rapidly once daybreak happens. But there is a lot of agriculture that's going to be impacted by Hurricane Helene. I took a look at all the Agriculture Department websites for Georgia, Florida, even into South Carolina. You know, as you know, Stu, as a farm guy, this is kind of a critical time of the year. The harvest is underway. Cotton, for example, one of those crops where they were so close, they say that the bolls, the kind of the pod where the cotton is housed, were open. That means if wind comes by, or more importantly, water gets in, it's going to discolor that cotton. That takes away the value. And you and I know also, for all the people that have livestock in those geographies, just trying to get coordination movement out of the impacted area. And then you got to find a place where you're going to house the livestock while the storm passes over you, you know?
Yeah, you can't just, you know, take them down the road and put them on somebody else's field. That's not a possibility. So yeah. A lot of work involved.
Yeah, so please think about agriculture as well as all those folks that are in the path. And now you said the path of Hurricane Helene, it's already slowed down tremendously. And now you're not necessarily thinking it's going to have much of an impact on Wisconsin, huh?
Well, the moisture is going to try to build up into the Ohio River Valley, and I'm already seeing, according to radar, that the rain has pushed up a little moderate rain in southern Illinois, southern Indiana, rain as far north as Lafayette, Indiana, as well south of Springfield, Illinois. But at most, I would expect, if it affects Wisconsin, it would be in that far southeast corner, Kenosha, Racine, maybe Milwaukee, and just that far little southeast corner. And otherwise, the rest of us do stand a little greater possibility to stay dry. Temperature still very mild heading into this weekend, well above our normals, which should be right about 70 or in the upper 60s or further north you head. We're going to be way above that, way into the upper 70s for the next several days, right through the weekend. Really no rain threat to talk about. And in fact, the only change I really see is a little dry, cool front that builds in next week and could make a big change from those upper 70s or 80s on Monday down into the 60s for highs on Tuesday and Wednesday, warming up right after that. I'll have more forecast details right after this.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
The latest and the greatest in the global dairy industry comes to World Dairy Expo, October 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. This year, World Dairy Expo celebrates the golden age of dairying, just as sound and Technicolor technologies ushered in the golden age of film in Hollywood. So too have modern technologies propelled the global dairy industry. Learn more from around the world when you attend. For tickets, visit worlddairyexpo.com.
All righty, World Dairy Expo is exactly where I'm going to be next week. Stu, what kind of weather have I got to look forward to?
it sounds pretty mild for Dairy Expo. Let's say that much. A little patchy fog around this morning, but our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Forecast includes mostly sunny skies today. Upper 70s, 80s in western Wisconsin with the northeast breeze about 5 to 15. The only place it cools right along the Lake Michigan shore. Overnight, clear to partly cloudy, fog late in the low and mid 50s with the northeast breezes. Sunny, a little more breezy Saturday. In fact, still in the upper 70s or around 80, but the northeast winds may gust up to 20 or 25 Saturday. Sunny Sunday and still mid-upper 70s. Northeast winds at 5 to 10 in those upper 70s or 80s. Monday, Pam, and then Tuesday, suddenly upper 60s for the warm spots.
Ah, okay. Then we knew it was coming. That makes about sense. Usually happens at World Dairy Expo.
2 days and it warms up again, but you know.
Okay. Have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, see ya.
Stumach, our ag meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Find more at Compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with
where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, we can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right, Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like
it's only glass.
It's only tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Helene is weakened to a tropical storm, but as it made landfall as a Category 4 hurricane in Florida, it's caused significant flooding in the region, says ABC's Jim Ryan.
The point of Helene's landfall was near the town of Perry in Florida's Big Bend. Farther south in Pinellas County, Ashley Giovanetti says,
we are seeing some areas that received over 8 feet of storm surge.
In Pasco County, firefighters have rescued at least 65 people from high water.
Helene's blamed for 3 deaths, 1 in Florida, 2 in Georgia. Vice President Kamala Harris heads to Arizona today. She'll visit the southern borders. Former President Trump and Republicans have criticized Harris for the Biden administration's border policy. Trump will meet today with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, and New York City Mayor Eric Adams is set to be arraigned in federal court after he was charged with accepting illegal campaign contributions. He says he's innocent. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
The Marathon County District Attorney is investigating the mayor of Wausau for moving an absentee ballot drop box into his office Sunday. Meanwhile, good government groups are also considering their legal options. Nick Ramos heads the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
I want to give them an opportunity at the local level to be able to resolve the situation, but I can tell you that I've already started to speak with some attorneys about what are the options that are on the table.
Mayor Doug Denny and other city leaders disagree whether what he did was legal. The Better Business Bureau says scammers are posing as investment brokers. Spokeswoman Lisa Schiller says victims have lost a lot of money hoping for big returns. She says anyone you don't know who wants your money for a so-called sure thing is likely just trying to rip you off. As usual, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
A potential playoff preview begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers are locked into the NL's third seed and will play in next week's wildcard round. This weekend, one of their potential playoff opponents, the New York Mets, are in Milwaukee for a three-game series. The playoffs begin Tuesday. Wisconsin football is heading west today to take on USC tomorrow. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell said long trips present challenges, but doesn't expect it to be an issue on Saturday.
Traveling to the West Coast means Friday morning is going to come really quick, and we got to get in here. The guys got to, you know, get here and get ready to roll. And so that's different. But is it completely different? No. I mean, if you were going to the East Coast, it would still be early. It just maybe wouldn't be as early.
The game at USC starts at 2:30 p.m. tomorrow. Wisconsin returns home next week to play Purdue at 11 a.m. And on Sunday, it's the border battle. The Green Bay Packers take on the Minnesota Vikings. Kickoff is at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dorothy Harms from the Farmers Angel Network joins us, as well as Dan Schaefer at 11 o'clock, and another edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This little summertime in September thing we have going on here is going to continue right on through the weekend. Today, mostly sunny, 79 our high this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 55. Tomorrow, sunshine, 77. On Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Mattenair on Air with Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how the school
a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Obviously, everybody's going to remember.
Wisconsin farmers frustrated that we haven't seen much progress on a new farm bill, and we have only got so much time. If we don't get it done by the end of the calendar year, we are going to run into some major problems for all of production agriculture. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. That heavy news will taper with a little lighter side of agriculture. Can you imagine millions of people watching videos of you trimming your toenails? Well, in a sense, that's exactly what millions of people are doing when they tune in to watch Nate the Hoof Guy. He's in Western Wisconsin. He's a hoof trimmer. And while for us in production agriculture, we know what he does, but it's not all that flashy. Yet millions of people choose to watch him. Stephanie Hoff's got that story for us. Stick around. Glad you're with us. So today is the 27th day of September. Let's see. What can I tell you? On this day, we celebrate birthdays. Gwyneth Paltrow. She is 52 years young today. French-Canadian singer, songwriter, and clothing designer. Avril Lavigne. She is 40 years young. And major Packers fan, Lil Wayne, he turns 42 today. He's going to be back in the Milwaukee area coming up in October. And now you know. Speaking of the Packers, today we will unveil another NFL-themed corn maze in the Stevens Point area at Feltz's Dairy Farm off I-39. Remember, this is a partnership between the Wisconsin Agriculture Tourism Association and the Green Bay Packers to draw attention and build excitement for the upcoming draft. Packers President and CEO Mark Murphy has joined us at a couple of these stops. I chatted with him and asked him to explain why the Packers thought Wisconsin agriculture made a nice platform to welcome folks in.
Yeah, I thought it was a great idea. You know, as we talked about before, two of the things that make Wisconsin so special, it's our agricultural industry and the Packers, and to be able to tie them together made a lot of sense.
This looks like it could turn into a great partnership with everybody that's coming next year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's, you know, we anticipate for the draft we'll have over 250,000 people come to the state and economic impact across the state of over $95 million. And so, and what better way to highlight the uniqueness of Wisconsin? We talk about, the draft is 3 days, but really the whole week, it's going to be like a week-long commercial for Wisconsin and Green Bay, and just what a special place it, what a great place it is, not only to live but to work and look at the great industry we have here.
Been a lot of fun visiting with Mark Murphy, President CEO of the Green Bay Packers. He's been at a couple of these different NFL-themed corn mazes. We will be in Stevens Point today to unveil the fourth at Feltz's Dairy Store just off I-39. I do want to remind you, take advantage of this beautiful weather over the weekend and visit a corn maze, a pumpkin patch, an apple orchard. You can get directions to all of them and also participate in the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association's Maize Challenge. Start looking at WIAgTourism.com. WIAgTourism.com. All right, markets yesterday in Chicago suffered another setback as far as the dairy trade was concerned. Barrel cheese dropped 2¾ cents yesterday to 240. 40-pound block cheese, that was down another 3 to 214.5. AA butter dropped 7 cents yesterday. It's now 279 a pound in Chicago. This morning, if I take a look at our numbers right now, it's a little mixed. Currently, the October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 4 at 23.28 a hundredweight. December corn's unchanged at 4.13. November soybeans are up 4 at 10.45. December wheat down 4 right now at 5.80 a bushel. Farmers very concerned. Are we going to get a new farm bill or not? That or not part by the end of calendar year 2024 carries with it some substantial penalties. Talking about that with Perry Osnes from Compeer in just a moment. Well, the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection has confirmed our first case of Eastern equine encephalitis. They found it in an unvaccinated 2-year-old gelding in Marathon County. It's the first confirmed case this year. In fact, Wisconsin has not had Eastern equine encephalitis since 2021. Now, this is carried by insects, primarily mosquitoes, that bring the viruses from infected birds. It can also mimic a lot like the West Nile virus. So right now, horse owners are being reminded to speak with your veterinarians about vaccinating your horses for the Eastern equine encephalitis. And also, while you're at it, vaccinate them for the West Nile virus. The insect population is not going down anytime soon. Well, on a lighter side, do you think anybody would watch you trimming your toenails? Millions watch you trimming your toenails? Well, essentially, that's exactly what happens when Nate the Hoof Guy takes to social media. Stephanie Hoff's got the story.
Some Wisconsin dairy farmers may know Nathan Rinaldo as the local hoof trimmer, but online, millions of people know him as Nate the Hoof Guy. On social media, you can find Nathan's hoof trimming videos getting hundreds of thousands to millions of views, but most of his audience doesn't even own livestock. Nate the Hoof Guy is actually bridging the knowledge gap between producers and consumers, but that wasn't his original intent.
Yeah, I wanted to create content around my work, but I really didn't think anyone would watch it. That was back in 2010. So I just didn't follow it. I didn't create content around it. And then in 2020, I just thought, well, I'm going to try it and see what happens, you know, as a resource, maybe for farmers or whatnot. And then it kind of just took off. And that's when I realized it wasn't really a resource necessarily just for farmers. There's a lot of other people interested in it.
Did that surprise you that, you know, it was more than just your customer base that was even interested in, what their cattle's hooves looked like, but that you had this whole other group of people, maybe unfamiliar to agriculture, that just drew onto this stuff?
Yeah, that's the part that I didn't see coming, was that people that didn't know what it was would be the ones that are actually interested in it. And that's really the key to it. It's something they'd never seen before. It was a career that they never knew existed. And then just the intrigue around what was happening, I think, is what drew them in. And that's why it became as popular as it was.
But what has drawn the most attention? Or I guess what topic or what are you filming that does tend to reach the biggest audiences or get the most views?
It's the videos where I'm doing a lot of knife work when I'm trimming. So if a cow's got some type of hoof problem that I have to use my knives and kind of work the hoof away from it, that's the ones that they really enjoy. I think it's just because there's more going on, there's more action, it's more of a fixing a problem type situation. So that's what I think they enjoy watching the most. That's the ones that those are the ones that I tend to film. I trim a lot of cows, obviously, on a daily basis. Only a few are going to have problems, but those are the ones that are the most interesting to the viewers.
Do you ever get crazy questions about, like, you know, animal welfare or, you know, anything else that you have to kind of bridge that knowledge gap?
Yeah, for sure. And that's the reason that it's kind of counterintuitive. It's like you're showing a problem. So that would tend to highlight, you know, maybe a negative aspect. But really, when you show the problem and explain exactly what causes it, how to fix it, how we prevent it, it adds context to all of these things, and it makes it much more understandable to just the layperson versus if they only saw it one time or if they didn't get enough context around the issue itself, then they may think that. But with the right explanations, the right context, it becomes easy to understand. And over time, my viewers actually will answer some of those questions for other viewers in the comments section for me because they've learned, they understand what causes them, things like that. So
now we've had a pretty wet year, Nate. So I want to ask you, what are some of the common issues that you do see in cattle feet, cattle hooves, their claws, you know, this time of year? Maybe it's heat related, maybe it's moisture related.
Confined cows, you're seeing, because of the heat, you'll see a lot more of the white line issues, abscesses and ulcers and things like that from just the added standing time. Okay. Obviously when cows are heat stressed or they get hot, they stand up to get rid of that heat. That's the easiest way for them to do that. When they're on their feet longer, they're going to have more foot problems. When it comes to moisture related cows on pasture, you're going to see a lot more of the hoof rot, foot rot type things because their feet are sinking deeper into the dirt and stuff. They're getting more abrasions in between their claws. So you're going to see more instances of that with the wet weather.
Nathan Rinaldo along with us, or better known as Nate the Hoof Guy by millions who follow along with him on social media, where he posts educational videos about hoof trimming. What he thought was going to be a tool for dairy farmers actually turned into a way to bridge the gap between consumer and the dairy industry. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Freezing your credit sounds drastic, but it's not. In fact, freezing your credit is one of the best ways you can protect yourself from identity theft. Freezing your credit doesn't stop your credit score from going up or down. It's just a way to make sure that nobody can open an account in your name, not even you, without removing your freeze first. So to freeze your credit, you just contact each of the three major credit bureaus and you request a credit freeze. Just search up the term credit freeze and you'll find the phone numbers and websites where you can get it all done. And don't worry, you can always unfreeze your credit when you need to apply for new credit, like a loan or something, by contacting each bureau again. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org or text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
When I went up north a couple of weeks ago, and there was a line of about 14 people.
That guy should get a ticket.
Because everybody kept pulling out to try to see if you could pass.
Right. I feel bad when I'm flipping off these old people, because I don't think that's nice.
Well, you should do that.
I know I shouldn't do that.
Next week's headline, former Green Bay Mayor gets tased from Michigan State Police. Details at 9.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Northeast Wisconsin independent filmmaker J.B. Thompson, and it's a bar band Friday night. So Terry Barr joins us with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Grower gathering type things where you might want to stay engaged, and definitely stay engaged when it comes to development of the Farm Bill, the ongoing conversations about the elections. Perry Osnos is joining us today to kind of give us a little bird's eye view on what he's been monitoring, not just for Compeer, but for a lot of the agribusiness world. So Perry, here we sit still in September without any signs of life as far as a new farm bill. Can you paint a picture for us? What's been going on or maybe not going on for the past couple of months? You know, farmers get busy doing what they do, taking cows, care of cows, cattle, hogs, and crops, and we may not have our eye on the ball on the farm bill. Give us an update from your perspective.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, there hasn't been a lot of progress since the end of May. You know, kind of stepping back for a moment, back in late May, on the House side, the Agriculture Committee passed a version of the Farm Bill that had some bipartisan support. But the challenge that they have had is trying to get enough bipartisan support to bring it to the House floor to get it passed. But we do have a bill, at least on the House side, and that's an encouraging sign, but nothing much on the House side since then. On the Senate side, both the Ag Committee Chair, Debbie Stabenow from Michigan, and the ranking member of the Agriculture Committee, John Bozeman from Arkansas, back in early June, released what they called Farm Bill Framework Proposals, which had some details but no Farm Bill text. And so, you know, to this point, that's kind of where things stand. I think this is a good reminder why it's most of us in agriculture would like to see a Farm Bill not brought up in an election year, because that certainly complicates things. I think the good news is, though, that certainly from the agriculture community, I know there's a big fly-in this week into D.C. There's been some letters being sent to congressional leadership urging them to act on a Farm Bill at least by the end of this year.
Right. And to your point, there's been a lot of commodity groups that have been grouping together, sending those letters, really trying to put the pressure on. I think one of the reasons why we're chatting today, Perry, we all know that the existing Farm Bill is really designed to expire at the end of this month. What happens? I mean, obviously, we're not going to resolve that. What happens? Can you give me some options or explain what we gain or lose?
Yeah. So recall last year, the Congress had to extend the 2018 Farm Bill at that time to September 30th of 2024. From a practical standpoint, if Congress does not extend the Farm Bill by September 30th, it doesn't mean that things just shut down. Things become more problematic if we get to the end of 2024 and there's not at least an extension. But again, going back to this idea of, because there is some talk out there, well, maybe we'll just have to extend it another year. Most would say that, particularly with the current ag economy right now and commodity prices, that just simply extending the current Farm Bill isn't going to be sufficient. So something will have to be done by the end of the year, and hopefully it's a new Farm Bill as opposed to just extending the current one for another year.
You know, there's been a lot of conversation ongoing, Perry, about the lack of knowledge that many of the people making key decisions about advancing a Farm Bill, putting together a Farm Bill in any way, shape, or form, really lack connectivity with agriculture today. Many of the assistants, you know, the people that are behind the scenes helping to draft some of this policy, have never been near a farm, have absolutely zero connection with agriculture. Is my story, if I decide to call from the combine or from the semi cab or something like that, is my story still valuable at this stage with this kind of quagmire in Washington, D.C.?
I certainly think it is. I think if you think about our two bodies in Congress, the Senate side, let's take that to begin with. You know, every senator has some agriculture in their state. So I think there's a strong realization of the importance of a Farm Bill. And if you go back to the last Farm Bill, I think it got something like 87 votes in the Senate. I think where we're seeing a lot of changes is on the House side. And when you think about the fact that as demographics change and rural community districts get larger, there's probably only about three dozen congressional districts out of 435 that have primarily agriculture drivers, economic drivers in their districts. So that does become problematic. The issue with the Farm Bill has always been it's got to be bipartisan. And one of the other challenges is the fact that while we call it a Farm Bill, the reality is most of the funding today for this Farm Bill is going to nutrition programs. And in fact, about 80% of this cost of this next Farm Bill will be for nutrition programs. So that's a bit of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you can say, well, agriculture is certainly getting squeezed out of the Farm Bill spending, which is true, which is something many of us in agriculture argue to balance that. At the same time, it does give a reason for non-rural members of Congress to vote for a farm bill. If they care about nutrition programs, which many of them do, certainly they want to see a farm bill as well. So, but getting back to your original point, educating members of Congress and their staff is really important for farmers, farm organizations, commodity groups to do, just to make sure they understand the implications and the importance of a farm bill.
Very true. They were just talking about it again yesterday. Thanks, Perry. Perry Ostis joining us. He is the Vice President of Legislative Affairs for Compure Financial. Everybody focused in on trying to get a farm bill done. As you said, the election's taking up everybody's attention. But in fact, yesterday, dozens of House Republicans called on Speaker Mike Johnson to schedule a vote on the farm bill before the end of the calendar year, because it is such critically important infrastructure to keep not just Wisconsin agriculture moving forward, but all of food production. And the farm bill also would deal with something like Hurricane Helene and what it's doing to production agriculture in that region as well. Thanks, Perry. If you want to find out more about some of the efforts that Compure Financial is putting forward as far as farm bills, or if you're just looking for risk management or some tools to help you find that place out in the country, Compure Financial can help you do just that. Pop online, compure.com, with offices all across the state of Wisconsin. All right, next week, it's our Super Bowl here in the Farm Department, World Dairy Expo 2024. The cattle are already on the grounds at the Alliant Energy Center, and we'll be there starting right away on Monday of next week. Follow us, please, Midwest Farm Report on Instagram as well as Facebook. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Pack, go.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Wisconsin's volunteers are making a difference in our communities every single day. Find the perfect volunteer opportunities for you at volunteerwisconsin.org. You can filter by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more, all to help find the best fit for you. Go to volunteerwisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center today. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Some recognition for the U.S. pork industry today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
America's pork producers have quite a cheerleader in Lori Stevermer. She's a Minnesota hog farmer who became president of the National Pork Producers Council earlier this year.
Our industry supported 573,000 jobs. We created $37 billion worth of personal income for our farms and created over $62 billion worth of value added, or GDP. So we're a significant industry.
Stevermer acknowledges that pork may not be the largest livestock sector in the country, but she says it's a vocal one.
I'm really proud of the grassroots efforts that we've had from our members and our producers over the last year. We've had many fly-ins where we've brought more producers into D.C. I see more producers engaged at local, state, and national levels. And that's really important because each one of us producers has a different story and a different voice. And amplifying that message just makes us stronger. So we're small but mighty in our messaging.
Stevermer also recognizes that the pork industry has a stake in keeping the flame lit.
I'm really excited about the next generation. We have a group of young leaders that are passionate, and they have a wealth of potential, and they want to be involved with the pork industry. So we need to find ways to get them involved.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview the Wisconsin Badgers taking on the USC Trojans live from Los Angeles, California. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches, it's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. At least